Life sometimes seems to be a roller coaster of highs and lows. Notice I said seems. When famed Norman Vincent Peale was called upon by people looking for spiritual guidance, he would often begin with, "Well, what seems to be the trouble?" Again, the word seems, meaning the whole approach is to not give any sort of reality to there actually being trouble. Just what seems to you at this moment to be troublesome in appearance. A story I read about Dr. Peale this week was in his book, Stay Alive All Your Life. In that book, there is a chapter where he relates a personal story centered on the theme of fair weather always comes. In the story, he is a passenger on an ocean liner headed back to the United States from the Mediterranean. The ship's captain invites him up to the bridge where the controls and charts are and where you can look out on the seas ahead, where the ship is headed. It was an extremely calm day. The waters were silky smooth, not even a ripple. The captain showed him the navigational chart for the voyage. He showed him that in 3 days' time, the ship would cross through the path of a hurricane. Dr. Peale said, "Well, can't you go around it?" "No," the captain said, "that would add 2 days extra time to the voyage. And besides, this ship is big enough and designed to withstand the wind and seas this storm will create." Sure enough, 3 days later, Dr. Peale was knocked out of his bed by the waves of the storm. The winds and weather were extremely violent, and the ship tossed and turned, rocked and rolled. The ship and the passengers had to tolerate this for several hours, probably seemed like a lifetime. Eventually, as the ship went on its path and the storm on its path, the seas and weather began to calm down, and the smooth sailing of a few days earlier had been restored. Later, Dr. Peale spoke to the captain, who had this to say, "I have learned that when the seas are smooth, to expect that at some point they will turn rough. And when the seas are rough, to expect that at some point they will become smooth. The secret is to recognize that the ship is big enough to be able to ride out the rough weather and to know that smooth sailing will return." And that is the lesson for us. That is what we should take into prayer with us. The realization that we are big enough to ride out any seeming difficulty in life. When problems seem to arise, go to God in prayer and realize He has made you big enough to ride out, over, and surpass anything this world can throw at you. Fair weather always returns. Didn't this happen to the disciples with Jesus on the boat? You will recall Jesus was asleep in the stern. The boat came upon rough seas. The disciples panicked, woke up Jesus frantically, saying, "Master, care not that we perish?" Well, he arose, walked to the side of the ship, and commanded to the seas, "Peace, be still." And so it was. Looking then at the disciples, he rebuked them. "How can you be so fearful? How is it you can have so little faith?" Now, this is the way to pray. When life comes at us, we, like the ship's captain, we, like the disciples and Jesus in the boat, we go to the Father within. We awaken our Christ consciousness. Once aroused in our chamber, we realize that we are bigger and built to withstand whatever troubles we have erroneously judged to be difficulties. And we need not fear them. And once the fear energy is removed from those difficulties, why then fair weather returns. Melinda Kramer has this to say about true prayer in her book, Divine Science and Healing. The prayer that we often think of as prayer is usually considered to be a recognized need and then an expressed desire to have that need supplied. True prayer, however, is an act, the act of doing the right, the just and loving deed to God first, because he includes man, then to man. This is rendering things in a practical way. With unwavering energy, every soul in nature prays to manifest itself. It loves to do as God does. The Creator who pervades all acts in all, and the substance of that action is faith pressing the possibility or soul of things outward into manifestation of visible form. Therefore, prayerful seeking is the act of revealing the inner and invisible life in the seed, in the plant, in the animal, and in man, causing us to burst apart, to come up and face the sunlight. All things in nature obey this divine injunction that's placed upon them by the Creator, and that is increase, multiply, replenish the earth. Quoting from Philippians, Ms. Kramer writes, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory." This place where we go in consciousness to pray, to remind ourselves, is the chamber made for Elisha. It is the stern of the ship where Jesus rested. It is the closet that Jesus referred to when he said, "When thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly." Referring again to Dr. Peel's book, Stay Alive All Your Life, he tells a story of a woman who learned to pray by simply paying attention to the rhythms. She would go to the shore. She watched the grass bend rhythmically. She soon noticed it was in tune with the waves and the surf going in and out of the shore. Soon she put her head to the ground and could hear her heartbeat through the ground, and noticed her heartbeat was in tune with the grass bending back and forth and in tune with the waves of the seas flowing in and out. And she realized in that quiet moment, in her chamber, carved out for the man of God, so to speak, that she was actually in tune with all of her surroundings and was a part of rather than apart from. And this is what we mean when we pray in divine science. We come into tune with the fact that we are one with each other and with God. We are all connected and are together. Everything belongs, as expressed in the title of a Father Richard Rohr book. Everything has its place. There is no good thing or bad thing. There is no thing happening to us. We are experiencing all that exists, and we need not feel that anything is out of place or happening to us that is not supposed to be. It is our erroneous thinking that removes us from this sense of oneness. It's that error that must be corrected, and we must reach the God in consciousness within to restore us. Once we reach that point, well, we can then receive all sorts of inspiring thoughts that help us manifest who and what we are, which is all one child or idea of God, all connected. We can express and identify with each other, with our feelings, and help each other, which is in reality helping ourselves. And the way to help ourselves is to recognize we are all one. We all belong. Prayer is not only about praying our way through seeming difficulties. No, rather, it is adopting a whole way of living that is in line with right thinking, not error thinking. Right thinking requires we be in tune with the infinite. Being in tune with the fact that there is no your life and my life, there is only life. It is all one. In thought, in our quiet place, we can have this realization. And we can ask that we be God-directed to doing the right thing. The right thing is that thing that benefits everybody. I was reading in this morning's Washington Post an article about a restaurateur who runs a diner in Berkeley, California. His job is to feed people. The fact that he earns a profit off of his meals and a living occurs to him to be a side effect, but it is not his true purpose. He noticed homeless and hungry people outside. He began feeding them a breakfast of two eggs and the works with coffee, for free, no questions asked. He began posting free meal tickets so that his customers could pay for a meal for a hungry person as well if they so chose. When the free tickets for the day run out, it does not matter. He will still provide you a meal if you are hungry anyway. Now, this diner was able to survive the COVID pandemic, in part due to a GoFundMe drive that his customers, who liked what he was doing, supported. You see, this man is acting from his true divine nature. He knows his job is to feed people, and he does that. He does that with a sense of love. He didn't skimp. It was two eggs and the works. That love, meaning he knows that we are all one, that no one is required to, nor should, go hungry. He is in tune with his higher self. He prays, if you will, with his feet, with his action. Difficulties may come and go with running the restaurant, and yet he survives them, in part because he lives in accordance with his true, ethical, and right purpose, that is, recognizing he is here to feed people. That is his mission. That is his purpose. He stays true to that. Spiritually condition your mind. You will make fewer mistakes. You will have fewer difficulties. When a disturbance comes along, pray for it. Pray for those who you think are causing you to be disturbed. Disturbances can come along, for example, you could be quiet in meditation, but the neighbors won't shut up. Don't let that disturb you. There is some message coming to you about something that you need to heal. Start by praying for them, and you will see that the disturbance will subside. Why? Because the disturbance really is not coming from the noisy neighbor. It is coming from you. You are disturbed because of some judgment you are making about them or the situation. So relax. Relax into it. Recognize it. Pray for it. Pray that all good will be recognized by them and by you too. That disturbing thought about them will be displaced with one of love, unity, belonging. Never forget to shift your emphasis in prayer to the so-called other. That is a part of you too, and it is more easily recognized in someone else than in your own self, no matter how good your self-inventory is. Prayer really is nothing more than quieting your mind and letting your inner connection with God, life, come through. The key, after all, is creating the place where our consciousness can receive inspiration. The singer Gordon Lightfoot, who died this week, told in an interview once how he got his inspiration for his songs. He would jot down a thought, put it in his pocket or his case, and pull it out later, and write a song about it if so inspired. But the inspiration first came from the source, that is, the idea that came to him in a few words. One time, he was driving back to the airport in Arizona, just outside of Phoenix, and he saw a sign for Highway 74, which is also known as Carefree Highway. He wrote down the name Carefree Highway, thinking it might be a good title for a song. But this time, however, he put it in the glove compartment of the rental car he was in. He almost forgot about it. When he was returning his car, something caused him to check the glove compartment. He found the note. He put it in his case, and months later, he pulled it out and penned the lyrics to what became a hit record in the 1970s. Now, more important than being a hit record is a realization that the expression of the theme in that song, of how we try to escape ruminating over a lost love or a lost opportunity or some loss we are experiencing, and we want instead to be on the carefree highway, letting it go and not troubling us. This expression of getting over a lost love or lost opportunity is a manifestation of a feeling that we can all relate to. So when we are down, we might just happen to hear the melody of that song in our heads, and we are reminded of the lyrics, and we can know that we all feel that way, regretting losses in the past. And in that identification, we realize, well, we all have things to regret, but we know that things come and things go, and fair weather always returns. Had Gordon Lightfoot not made it a practice of keeping inspired thoughts with him like that, he could not have brought it into manifestation, and we would be minus one source of comfort and assistance. Likewise, if we do not keep our inspired thoughts, how can we ever hope to manifest our true purpose? And that true purpose is to connect with and love each other. We don't need to pray for a God to do anything for us or to remove our difficulties. That type of prayer doesn't work anyway. We do not pray to a God out there to solve whatever is going on in here. Rather, God is always here and always with us. He is our life force. As such, He is always doing for us. For we have life, and we have it more abundantly. God, that life force, is always with us. He is our cosmic guardian angel. Why, there is nothing or no thing to guard against. When we pray, all we must do is be quiet, be still, maintain our chamber in consciousness for the inspiration, which is the receptivity that God, life, is always with us, always doing for us, always there, always belonging. Prayer is bringing this into conscious realization, and it will manifest from our new conscious standpoint. And then we will be the ones who will approach the seeming problem with our new stance. And the seas will calm, and fair weather will return, and we will once again be on that carefree highway. As Isaiah says, "And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear." We should take a few moments now in meditation to make this lesson practical. Let's sit up straight. Let's close our eyes. Take in a deep, deep cleansing breath. And when you are ready, exhale. Being conscious only of the present. Quiet all disturbances and thoughts that might come into your mind. And if they do, don't worry about it. Love them, but don't dwell. Be quiet. Be still. Some words of inspiration will come to us. Comfort ye, my people. The voice cries in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight a highway for our God. The crooked shall be made straight, the rough places smooth. God is with us with a strong hand. His arm shall rule. He feeds us, his flock, like a shepherd. He gathers us up, his lambs, in his arms. Lift up your eyes on high. Behold, he who's created all calls us by name. See the greatness of his might, for he is strong. He does not fail. He does not get weary. He gives us power, power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increases their strength. We are they who wait upon the Lord. The Lord will renew our strength. The Lord will mount up with wings as eagles. We shall run and not be weary. We shall walk and not faint. We who love God shall join with each other on that carefree highway. We lose all sense that there is a morning after blues or that we have shattered dreams. Those thoughts will all slip away, slip away. We will be light to the wanderer by night. Our prayer will be our compass and our guide. We will come to know God as my presence. My presence shall be with thee. My presence will give thee rest. Amen. May you come to recognize that the Lord blesses you and keeps you. May you realize that he causes his light to shine upon you and is gracious unto you. Turn within and acknowledge him, so that you may find that he has lifted your consciousness and given you his peace. Amen.
Praise God in all beings. Praise him for word and for my his. Praise him, all ye his truth proclaim. Sing joyful praise unto his name.
Go in peace. Seek opportunities for stillness. Receive inspiration and have a blessed week.